And here is your challenge. Can you all tell me, is it possible to trigger Armin backups via OEM or not? Yes, no, maybe. I'll see you on the other side. Welcome back, guys. Arun this side again with another episode of Daily DBA Show. And I'm excited again for this episode. I don't know why. Because today morning, I got a good news. When I say good news, actually, it's a bad news. Okay. So I generally kind of like whenever I say it's a bad news, it means it's a good news. And when I say it's a good news, it's a bad news. So this morning, I got a good news. So do you think it's a good news or a bad news? All right. I'm just trying to confuse you all. That's okay. So guys, I am loving the way I'm getting response from all of you. This morning also when I logged in, I got so many emails regarding further queries of Oracle DBA episodes. And also I am getting queries on the Cloud DBA, which I will be taking in near future because I do have plans to start the cloud episodes. That being said, still continue to send me your queries to support@dbagenesis.com. And meanwhile, let us start our today's episode with the first question of the day. I am unable to install Oracle Database after uninstalling it on Windows system. What could be the issue? See, there can be a lot of issues. Like it depends how you uninstalled it. Did you just delete the Oracle Home folder? And by the way, guys, if you just delete Oracle Home folder, it doesn't mean that you have uninstalled the Oracle Database. So, I mean, you have to check like Oracle binaries, even though you delete it, there are a lot of linking between Oracle binaries and the operating system. And that's when Oracle works along with the operating system, right? I mean, that's how any software works. So what you have to do is, first of all, you need to check like, actually the way to delete a database is to run installer and remove the Oracle binaries completely. So first go ahead and check on your Windows system, what is the Oracle home location you're using. And in that Oracle home location, if you have ever installed the Oracle database, then probably you change the Oracle home location and try to install it in a new location. That will also help. It's a simple idea, right? So maybe what I believe by looking at this question is you did not uninstall the Oracle database software in the normal way. You actually went ahead and just deleted the folder where you had the Oracle installation done. But let me tell you, that's not the way to uninstall the Oracle database. There is a process and you have to initiate Oracle Universal Installer, that is OUI. Sorry, there is some background noise. And that's how you uninstall it. All right, so go ahead, check back. And what I would suggest is rather than using the same location where you are trying to install the Oracle database, try to change that location and maybe you might be able to uninstall or reinstall the Oracle software on your Windows machine. All right. That being said, guys, let's move on to the next question of the day. When I mount database, why it hangs indefinitely? Because you are not checking the database locations. See, there can be hundreds of issues for this question, but it depends. What I can recollect is probably the mount point where your data files reside, they are not mounted properly onto the server. That might be one issue. Or your Oracle home location is 100% full. That might be one issue. Your alert log location where the trace files are generated, that location is 100% full. That might be one issue. Or your Oracle base location is 100% full. That might be one issue. Or, I mean, most of the times, if the Oracle database is hanging in the mount mode, 99.9% of the times, the issue would be the storage. So what you can do is simply go to, if you go to the Oracle file system, wherever you have installed the Oracle database, if you just type df-h, that is disk free command, you will get to know all the disks, in the Linux operating system, whichever mount points you have, you will get the list. Check if any mount point is 100% full, get into the mount point, try to free up the space, and I think your Oracle will come up, right? So the only reason, or the 99.9% of the times why Oracle hangs in the mount mode, is because there is some issue with the Oracle home like storage, or you have the data files, NFS mount points are not mounted onto the server. those are the only issues that I can think of. And or otherwise, the last one which I mentioned earlier is the trace file or the alert log location is also 100% full, which is also causing your Oracle database to hang indefinitely. All right, I think those are my solutions. So that being said, let's move on to the next question. How come two sessions are running same SQL ID inside the Oracle database? So why do you think like two sessions cannot run the same SQL ID? Let's take if I'm querying the employee table, select star from employee, and there is another candidate or another user who is also connected to the database, and the another user is also using the same query, select star from EMP, the SQL ID would be exactly same. So my question to you would be, why are you so confused that two sessions cannot run same SQL IDs or same queries? Now let me give you an example like why it happens or why you might see multiple sessions running same SQL ID. If you guys remember, I will take you back to the bind variables concept. Okay, so you have an application, you have the database. So application will connect to the database, very simple. But there might be many application users, okay? So one application is running in India, one application is running in US. So two users using multiple applications connecting to the same database. Now, when it comes to queries which are coming from the applications, what happens is most of the applications will use bind variable concept, right? So the SQL query will be exactly same, but the bind variable values will be different. So when you are using SQL queries along with bind variables, definitely the SQL ID will be exactly same, right? So both the users connected to the database, the SQL IDs or SQL queries which are coming from those applications will be exactly same. The bind variable values will be different, right? So in that case, the SQL ID will be, I mean, it will definitely be same, right? So there should not be any confusion in terms of why multiple sessions are running same SQL ID. And it is very normal. Like, I appreciate your observation skills over here, but trust me, it is very normal inside the database. And of course, multiple users can run multiple queries which are exactly same, right? That being said, let's move on to the next question. What is the best way to upgrade from 9i to 12c when database size is 52 GB? Guys, I will give you a shortcut method, and it is the transportable tablespaces or use export import. Now, whenever the database size is very small, like in this case 52 GB, if you follow the normal Oracle upgrade path, so you have to go from 9i to probably 10g, 10g to 11g, 11g to 12c, 12c to, I mean, yeah, 12c is the last one. I was thinking 18c, all right? So you have to follow the exact upgrade matrix, right? If you perform upgrade from 9i to 12c, so you might have to perform multiple upgrades. Now, this will eat up more time. Of course, that's the right method, but when the database size is small, the simplest way is what you do, you have 9i database, you install 12c on one server, perform an export, import, done, upgrade is done. Simple, sweet method. Or you can use transportable tablespaces, but I am not sure, guys, if transportable tablespaces, I think it is not supported in 9i version. Just correct me if I'm wrong below in this video comments, but if, I mean, let's take the simplest way I would still suggest would be the export and import. Export from the source, import it into the 12c version database, your upgrade is done. Keep it simple, all right? But for all the major databases, let's take your 9i databases in terabytes, you can't follow export and import, okay? So depending on database size, the strategies will change. And one more thing, guys, this is very important. 99.9% of the times before you decide which method to choose for any kind of activity, you need to know the database size. Database size is one of the biggest defining factors of choosing the strategy that you have to take in order to perform an activity. For example, to copy one database from one server to another server, the database size is the defining factor. To perform the upgrade, the database size is the defining factor. Like if the database size is small, you would choose export import. If the database size is big, you will perform the manual upgrade method, right? And if you want to create a standby database, database size is small, you will perform a different type of cloning. If database size is big, you will choose a different method. Database size, once again guys, very important defining factor when it comes to any activity and scenario that you choose as an Oracle DBA. I'll give you one tip over here, and this is important to all of you. 99.9% of the times when I see DBAs being interviewed, the biggest problem is the interviewer asks them the question. Let's take the question is, how will you clone a database? And the DBAs will right away jump into answering the questions. And that is something stupid. You have to ask, what is the size of the database? Because depending on the size of the database, the cloning method will change. The same thing happens with upgrade. The same thing happens with setting up the replication. The same thing happens with setting up the standby. The database size is once again the biggest defining factor in terms of any kind of database activities, right? That being said, next time if you are asked in an interview, how do you perform database cloning? Always ask, what is the database size, right? Let's move on to the next question of the day. How can I convert from Oracle multi-tenant CDB to non-CDB database? First of all, it is not possible for you to come back. So you can always convert from non-CDB to CDB. But if you have converted once the Oracle into CDB, you cannot come back. All right. Of course, there are ways to work around, or there are ways to get it done. And I'm going to answer that. But on a normal note, if you convert non-multi-tenant database into multi-tenant database, you cannot come back. You cannot convert multi-tenant database back to non-multi-tenant. So what is the workaround? Simple, use transportable table spaces or use export import to export your PDBs and you import it into a standalone database. That's the best way to kind of like dissolve the multi-tenant database back into individual databases. But my question to you would be again, why would you want to do that? Because if you are going for multi-tenant database, it will have multiple pluggable databases, right? So multi-tenant database, there is a reason why Oracle created multi-tenant database. It is called as database consolidation. So you have one big container with multiple pluggable databases. So you are consolidating all the databases, all the individual single databases into one big container, right? So when you have already consolidated your databases into CDB, like a multi-tenant container, why would you want to go back? I mean, I guess I feel this question is asked based on probably a client's requirement, where your client wants to get back one PDB into a standalone database. Now, if that is the case, what you can do is simply perform an export and import. Export that PDB data and import it onto a standalone database. So that's the one method of converting from CDB, container database, that is the multi-tenant database, to the non-multi-tenant architecture. And I guess you can also use the transportable table spaces in order to perform the same activity. All right, guys. So I had these questions for the day. As I always say, keep commenting below these videos. And guys, do not forget my vision. My vision is to reach every single DBA on this planet. And let us work for that vision. Please share these videos as much as possible. And I am loving the way our community is growing. I'm loving the way we all are learning. I'm also learning from your comments. Keep commenting below these videos. And meanwhile, I'll see you on the bonus question. Welcome back, guys. Arun this side. And guys, this one question bugs me a lot. And I get email almost every day on the same question. And that's the reason I've chosen this question for the bonus section of this episode. Let me first talk about the question, and the question goes something like this. And actually, guys, it's a very silly question. The question is, Oracle is such a big like technology. Oracle is an ocean, right? There are a lot of topics, a lot of concepts, and how do we learn faster? Because there are so many things that you need to keep in mind and all, and so forth, right? I 100% agree. Oracle is a big ocean. Forget about Oracle, guys. Any kind of technology that you want to learn, everything is a big ocean. And one of the biggest challenges that each one of you will face is how to remember everything. and that is something is not possible. So what is the workaround? What is the way to learn things faster? And as I observe people and students, as I observe so many DBAs along my career, I see that there is one particular way which helps you learn things faster. And let me help you with this one. I'll give you an example and then we'll talk about this topic once again. So there are two ways to become a DBA, okay? I'll give you right answers. The first one is you take a formal training, or you buy a book from market and you kind of read that book again and again, you practice whatever is written in the book and done. That is one way. But if you do like this, you will always feel empty, because someone on internet or someone on Facebook or someone on YouTube recommended some other book. Now you are tempted to buy the new book. You buy the new book, start reading it, and then you still feel lost and you feel like, oh no, I need to read another book, or I need to take another course, and you will be into a spiral circle which will never end. Now, what is the problem with this kind of learning method? The problem is you are learning as the author of the book wants you to learn, right? So what is the other way of learning things? The other way of learning things is by building and destroying, all right? So what do I mean by that? So let's take the author of the book says that install the Oracle software. So what you guys generally do is you install the software, then you move on to the next topic and you feel like, yes, I know how to install. So at that very moment, you know how to install. But if I ask you, like, can you install the Oracle database after 1 month? You'll be like, oh no, I need to check the book. This is the problem of learning with books. All right. So let me come back to the fastest way of learning. So the fastest way of learning is to build and destroy. So if the author is saying you have to install the Oracle like this, then once you master that activity, once you know, by looking at the book, I know how to install the Oracle software. Once you have done that part, your job is now to figure out new types of installations. That is where the learning lies. The biggest problem is DBAs, once they achieve an activity, they move on to the next activity. No, that's not the way. So once you learn an activity, stop right there. Use your creative mind and try to build your own scenarios. And once you build those scenarios, try to find answers to those scenarios, and that's when you learn more. So for Oracle installations, let me build some scenarios for all of you. So by watching or by reading one book, you learned how to install Oracle. Okay, perfect, fine. This activity is done. So let us use our creative minds and build scenarios for ourselves and understand what more can we do in Oracle installations. So how can we automate Oracle installation, right? This is one method. Okay, so now I have built a problem for myself and I will find a solution for this problem by Googling or by referring or reaching out to my mentors or probably reaching out to someone whom I know, right? So that way, what I've done is I've created a problem. So we have learned one concept, Oracle installation. We created a problem for ourselves, that is like how to install Oracle fast or probably how to install Oracle on 100 servers at one time, right? So we build this problem and then we are researching on this problem. So this problem which you have built, this is where the learning lies. And that is what I want all of you to do. So what I recommend is to learn faster any technology, whether it is Oracle, whether it is entrepreneurship, whether it is AWS, whether it is Oracle Cloud, whether it is Google Cloud, or any kind of technology that you have. What you do is you build your scenarios. The author is giving you concepts, right? So you learn those concepts. But after learning those concepts, you have to build your own scenarios and find answers to your scenarios. When you run for answers for the scenarios that are built by you, you will never forget that learning. Remember this, and don't forget to comment below these videos. And guys, I would love to know from each one of you, like, when was the last time you learned one concept because you were trying to research on something else, right? I think you all can recollect and relate to what I'm saying. Whenever you research and try to find answers to some problems which just came out on the real-time floor or some problems which were thrown at you by the client, those learnings you will never forget, right? That being said, guys, if you have some ideas on how to learn things faster, put the comments below these videos. And meanwhile, I'll take a leave. I'll see you all in the next episode. Till then, take care. Bye-bye.